considering that this is 1940, they were talking about the importance of building such an underground facility, you get the idea that we've had so many years that have passed since then that our government, in all its brilliance and all the money that we have allowed it to spend, has taken the world's greatest engineers and actually created a system of network of tunnels and underground cities inside the United States for preparation of continuation of government and also the human species in case anything happens on the surface. So we have that documented case. It turns out that the lieutenant colonel had retired, and the day he retired, he dropped dead from his job. The authors who penned the report are both dead, but their children are still alive. One of the author's children had said that his father was personal friends with Theodore Roosevelt and used to go out in the boat here to fish with him. And his father being a very well-known engineer in the area at that time. Remember, this is out towards Montauk, so this is the 1940s getting out into that really mysterious stuff.
Well, how many miles are we talking about of tubes?
As far as tube shuttle network?
Yeah.
We're talking about coast-to-coast being able to... what happened was this, that in 1972, a RAND scientist by the name of Robert Salter was interviewed with the L.A. Times, and he was their lead physicist, and he was interviewed, and the interview contained his report on how they had developed and designed a large tunnel network system across the United States that in an evacuated tunnel, meaning vacuum tunnel, they could drop a maglev train and have it travel in excess of 14,000 miles an hour from coast to coast with as little discomfort.
14,000 miles an hour?
14,000 miles an hour because it's in a vacuum.
That's like faster than a speeding bullet.
It's coast to coast in 21 minutes. Okay, now. They said they could do this with off-the-shelf technology and very few technological breakthroughs would have to be made. They said it was totally feasible. Robert Salter encouraged the construction of this because he said we have to free up our skies because of the pollutions we're putting into it. He said also because of the energy savings. The tube shuttle systems work on a way like the old trolley cars. When you accelerate one in one position, what's happening is when it gets to the median point, its deceleration at 7,000 or 7,000 miles an hour, the forces in its decelerating are being put back into the system to help the car in the opposite direction accelerate. So it's very.
How
very
long would it take? Efficient. How long would it take to build coast to coast?
They claim that it would take some years to build. They were unspecific into how long it would take to build. Although they did say that. They believe that the military should take command in the construction of these tube shuttles for national security interests because everything else would fall in line. They said that they could accommodate up to, and at that time, 170 million passengers a year because they could have these tube shuttle trains have 1 minute separation before
the next one. The next one, then the next one, I guess.
The next one and the next one. They said all you'd have to do is increase more. It decreased the time between departures, and you could actually put not very much work on the system and carry twice as many passengers. And they said that people would end up leaving the airlines and coming down to that because simply it's a good thing to do.
What kind of G-force would there be on people?
You're talking about when you're traveling in speeds of 6,000 and 15,000 miles an hour, in order to make a comfortable turn and just maintain 1G, if you're traveling 550 miles an hour, it takes about 4 miles of a turn in order to maintain just that 1G, which is not too uncomfortable. The same thing, when you go 5,500 miles an hour, it takes about 400 miles to turn that to make that turn. So really they have tube shuttle systems that take as little, as few turns as they can, and they encourage the construction of a hypervelocity tube shuttle that goes from San Francisco through Dallas up through Chicago or directly to New York.
So the tube would be the same tube. It's not like we'd have multiple tubes on top of each other.
No, you could. What they did was actually they were designing 28 diameter cuts that using a subterrane, which is like a melting boring machine. It's not ground, it's melting. So it actually creates a glass-lined rock that's really easy to create a vacuum in. And they were pointing out different technologies like this that they said they would use. The tubes they would put together are 28-foot diameter ones were done in almost an elliptical shape that could house two separate tubes. It would almost be like you're getting into a jet aircraft that has no windows, that has nice plush seats and such. You're going to be accelerating sometimes for the first part of the trip where you'll feel an acceleration, and the majority of the trip you could actually kick back just like you were walking up and down in the cockpit of an airplane.
How much would this cost, John?
They said initial costs actually would be most of it, 90% of it would go into the building of tunnels.
Sure.
They said about 10% left over would go into the technology of putting the tubes in, and that it could run into the tune of $1 trillion, although you have to understand by you're taking the entire system and moving it underground, not just airline transportation, but you could take cross-continental communications lines, gas delivery lines, supply lines, communication lines, all of that could share the tunnels and help offset the cost for building it over a period of time. And what you do is the entire infrastructure of transportation back and forth, instead of being big rigs pouring pollution onto the into the air on the highways and clogging our highways up, we could have a tube delivery system that could be shooting these things across the nation at instances.
Oh, but John, I mean, to dig it out to make the tube.
It's not so bad, because I'll tell you why. When you're talking about, I have on my site, reptoids.com, we have a link up there right now that will show you some of these diagrams, the documents, and your listeners might really get a kick out of them. The patents for the original subterranes developed in 1972 by the Los Alamos Corporation are also up in there. What they do is basically melt through rock, and the slough that's created, the heated rock, and even soldered granite melts at about 2,000 degrees. So it's anything can be gone through by heating it up. And what happens is it pushes all of this around to the outside lining of the tunnel into the cracks, and as it passes through, it cools down, so it leaves a 3-foot thick glass lining around the tunnel. This means you don't need all the concrete, you don't have as much stuff to carry out, as much muck to remove, you don't need all the steel. It's pretty much, and it's real airtight. This could be, with using that particular technology, it could have been done at a great cost reduction. But see, these technologies were used back in 1972, but you don't see them in commercial use today because there's so much money being made by giving, like, Ralph M. Parsons Corporation or Bechtel. All these guys get such big money laying down concrete and putting up pillars to justify the building of these tunnels that it's a big industry to them.
Do you think these reptoids are using this kind of travel system?
The systems, the tunnels, glass-lined tunnels, have been discovered out there by people exploring around. So there is an indication that this technology is not new.